platitudes and sayings. Platitudes and sayings. Sometimes it all just seems like so much yammering in the wind. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time. This side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, we are in the book of Job, and we will begin the sixth chapter today. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Job 6, verse 1, and tell a friend. Ask them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, as you've heard me say many times on here, we require the assistance and support of the Lord's people. We need your prayers. I hope, if you're a believer, that you have some kind of prayer life, because prayer is the most powerful thing that we've got going for us, other than perhaps the Holy Spirit living and resident in us. We can pray. We can approach the throne. We can put our petitions before Almighty God, and He has promised us that we will have answers. He will give if we ask in the name and the authority of His Son, our Lord Jesus. So write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray for us. And we, of course, would always love to hear from you. It is always a pleasure to get letters, to know where you are, who you are, where you're listening from, to answer any questions you might have, to provide you with any materials that we might, and in general, just to help you out in any way that we can. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your mailing or your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We have also an email address. That's for those of you who don't like to set pen to paper. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Not .com, but .org. You might say, well, why would I want to pull up the webpage? Well, you might just like to look at it. Read a little bit about Dialogue. See a picture of me. Say, as you look at the picture, I've heard that guy many times on the radio, and that's not how I imagined him looking. Well, yeah, I've heard that one before, too. If you would like to talk to me on the telephone, I'd be glad to talk to you. And I'm going to give you a phone number here. It's area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I'll get back with you. Okay, all of that out of the way, let's look at the sixth chapter of Job. And when we were in here last time, we saw this, the last things that this guy Eliphaz the Temanite had to say. And he runs on for two chapters. And here is a guy who, remember, back in the fourth chapter, he claims to have had some kind of revelation. He claims to have seen something in the night. And that this revelation, which apparently other men haven't had, said some things to him. And we've been reading through his statement, and we finished it up in the fifth chapter last time. You remember that what I said then. It's not necessarily that everything he says is false. It's that what he says does not have the ring of a man who's lived through anything and experienced anything. There is no depth to the man. There is mere shallowness. And that kind of thing is not what Job needs to hear. Because Eliphaz the Temanite and the others, as we will see over and over again through here, because these individuals have a very superficial knowledge of God, they are really not able to even kind of understand what Job is going through. Now, Job is not a perfect man. Job has got problems. And there's certainly sin in his life. And we will see this later on. When God said at the first of this book, he's a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil, you have to understand that statement in the light of what God says about him to Satan, that there is not one like him on the earth. Yes, compared to other men, he was as good as they get. But he had problems, and God is going to show some of these problems that he had. But what we've got with Job does not need, someone to come at him mouthing platitudes, even if the platitudes are true. Let's see what Job says. Job answered and said in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." Now, you know, when you are the one standing and you're watching someone else who is going through grief and difficulty and sorrow and pain, it is, and you say, and you've heard someone say, "Well, I know how you feel." Well, yeah, you may not know how they feel. You may or you may not. Now, I know that in problems that I've had in my life, it has always been very helpful to me to be able to talk to someone who has lived through some similar circumstances. These men who are talking to Job have not been through anything like what Job has been through. Oh, yes, they are, you know, they have suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, I am sure. But they have not been through anything like what Job has been through. Yes, they understand certain truths about God. Yes, they are able to mouth these truths. But emotionally, they cannot empathize or really sympathize with Job. They haven't been there, friends. Look at what this man says. "The arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." Now, much of this language here is poetic, and this is written as a poem. And look at what Job says here. "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder? Do you think it is for nothing that I am crying out in anguish and pain?" You know, you wouldn't even, you understand that animals, when they are silent, are perfectly happy. You don't hear from them unless they're discontented in some way. Why are you not willing and able to see that I am hurting? Now, I want to tell you something. Many times, Many times there are people out there who are in pain, and some of them are the Lord's people. Do not imagine that when you got saved, you left all your troubles behind. That seems rather evident and obvious to me now after having lived many years. But I've had people say to me, I know a guy who came to me one time. This is very interesting. Listen to this. This has been over 50 years ago. And I had been saved not very long. And he had heard me, talk about the gospel in my limited fashion. And he and I went to school together. And he had sort of listened to me. And he had this girl that he was in love with, and she didn't much care for him. You know how high school kids are. Well, hey, here we were, and here he was. And he said to me later on, he said, I don't want anything to do with any of this gospel stuff. And I said, well, why not, man? And he said, well, because I asked the Lord about this girl, and she still doesn't like me. Well, come on now. I mean, that's the sort of thing I would expect from a kid, which is what he was. And, he thought if I pray and if I say I believe this and I kind of do what Miller's doing here, I'll get this girl. And it didn't happen, so he said, get it away from me. Look, the sad part is, I have talked to grown people, adults who have been around a long time in this business, who have basically said to me the very same thing. You have heard me say this on here before. You go back and read the book of James. Read that first chapter of James and what James says about trial and tribulation and difficulty. God is perfecting us. And he is bringing us to completion in his Son, Jesus Christ, if we're saved. And that is why, this is why you never, listen to me, believers, you never want to treat another believer badly. You never want to do that. You always want to treat them with love and sympathy and kindness, because every believer out there, and even unbelievers, they are either in the midst of troubles, or they have been through troubles, or they are going to go through troubles. It's just that simple. And you don't want to do anything that lays more problems or troubles on them. You don't want to do that. Because when the hand of the Lord is on them, and that's exactly, and notice what Job says here. He who said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. He, at no time, ever blames any of this on the devil. Now, we know that the devil's right in the middle of it, don't we? But Job never assigns any of this to the devil. And in strictly speaking, Job is right. And we know that Job is right. How do we know that? Because we have seen what went on behind the scenes here. And even though the devil is the one who is doing the accusing, and it is the devil that is doing the persecuting, we know very well that it is Almighty God who is allowing this. It has come on Job through God's permissive will. And that is why Job says here, this is the hand of the Lord, and he is right. And any time a believer is going through pain and suffering and trouble, the enemy may have a hand in it, but ultimately it goes back to the Lord. He is dealing and will deal with his people. And therefore, to quote Eliphaz the Temanite from last week, we saw it, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And to go on and give the quote as it is given in the book of Hebrews, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now let's look at verse 6 of chapter 6 and look at some more of this poetic language here. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Now, here is, do you remember back early on the thing where Job said, the thing that I feared is come upon me? I don't know exactly what that meant, but Job makes it clear that to one degree or another, at least, he knew and understood that people cannot go along. And the Lord's people, let's put it this way. If I'm talking to you and you're unsaved, you'd better get saved. If I am talking to you and you are saved, you know very well, and I know very well, that you, if you have any understanding of what the Lord is doing at all, you know that you can't go day to day on beds of flowery ease, just cruising along on up to heaven and without hitting some bumps. You're going to have problems in this world. Did you hear me, believer? And so am I, and so have I, and so have many of you. And it is just that simple. You cannot escape this. This is what the Lord is using to perfect and complete you and to bring you to perfection in Christ and to hone and sharpen you. Gold is refined, and that means it has to be put in the fires, and you will go into the fires of affliction. And Job apparently had enough sense, spiritual sense and insight, to know this. And look at what he said. And that's why he said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. That which is unsavory cannot be eaten without salt. There's no taste in the white of an egg. He is going through things that he didn't want to go through. He is being forced to eat that which is unsavory. He is being forced to touch things that his soul refused to touch. He is in the fires of affliction, friends. And there is no doubt about it, so much so that he wishes that he were dead. Now, Job is not going to suicide. He doesn't suicide. He is not going to kill himself. Now, I'm telling you, every now and then someone will ask me, is it possible for someone who suicides to go to heaven? Absolutely. Sure. If you're saved and you suicide, you're not going to hell, but I want to tell you something. You are going to suffer great loss later on. Your life does not belong to you. I've said this on here just recently, but let me just say it again. Your life doesn't belong to you. Your life belongs to God, and I've heard people say this. I used to, you know, some of you who have been listening to this know that I taught philosophy at the university, and I've taught ethics classes, and we used to discuss suicide. And one of the things that we talked about, is suicide moral? Is it right to suicide? And I've heard many times people say, well, it's your life. It's not someone else's. What you do with it is yours, and it's your business, and oh, no. Oh, no. Your life and mine are not ours to do with as we want. Let's just think about it on a human level. How about my children? Do they have no stake in my life? What about my wife? What about my brothers and sisters in the Lord? What about people that I worship with on Lord's Day, that I am breaking bread with? Do they have no stake in my life? Does my life not belong to them? Are we not one in Christ? And then, ultimately, what about God? Do I not belong to him? Look, Job, whatever else, he doesn't suicide, but he asks the Lord to take him, doesn't he? He asks the Lord to take him. I knew a woman once. She was very miserable, very unhappy. And she was a believer. And she said, I just wish the Lord would take me home. And you know what? The Lord did. The Lord did. And I don't know. When you are going through things like what Job is going through, and you will go through them, and you can count on it, when you are in the midst of these things, I beg you, and I implore you, take this as something from the Lord, and let what Job went through here be a lesson to you. He says that it would please God to destroy me. Well, it doesn't please God. That's not what God has in mind for Job. And God's not going to do it. And we know when Job comes through this, he's better off than he ever was. And I have no doubt that he would look back on this and say, why would I have ever said something that foolish? But look, when you're in the midst of the fire, you might say a lot of foolish things. Let's read on a little bit here. He says, then should I have comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones? Or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? Now, here he is once again. He is down as far as he has ever been. He has never been through anything like this before. And all he can think of is that he has no help, that no one understands. And look, it's easy in situations like this to say, does God really care? Does God really know? Is he aware? Let me tell you something. God is intimately aware of everything that's going on with Job. And God cares. And whoever and whatever you are out there, or whatever you may be living through, God knows and God cares. And if you are a believer, you know, and you are living through something like what Job is living through, now, more than ever, is the time for you to get down before God and thank God and pray that in all of this, you will get out of it what God wants you to get out of it. Because, once again, at the risk of repeating myself, gold is refined in fire. And the refiner puts it in the fire until all the slag rises to the top and is scraped off. And when all of that happens, then it is pure gold. And God is our refiner. Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.